KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. A bit is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
We are here to help you and guide you through this Monday evening.
We like the guiding.
Yes. We're not quite as good as one of those guiding dogs.
No. Well, they're professional.
Those are professionals.
Right.
Trained, they're highly trained, yes.
Trained from birth.
For us, the guiding is more of a hobby, so...
Yeah. But we do our best.
Right.
A few detours here and there, but...
We're skilled hobbyists.
Yeah. We eventually get you where you need to go, you know.
You just make a stop by the hobby shop on the way there, that's all.
Right.
And then we'll tell you about how it was fashionable to have an onion pinned to your coat on the Thursday when the battleships were coming in because the game wasn't invented yet. But then when the color blue first appeared, there were signs. I mean, I could go on, but you know. Anyway.
That's a good one.
Like I said.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you know, hey, it's crazy history stuff. But like I said, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show. And yeah, gentlemen, how have you been?
Been good. I've been pretty busy this weekend with family stuff.
Family stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's important.
Yeah, I know. Priorities and all. But no, it was good times. Got to see some sister-in-law that lives out in Arizona. She came in for a visit and a baby shower, which was fun. So
was she like, oh, man, it's nice and cool here?
Yeah, she was like, this is quite pleasant.
Yeah.
Because they came from, like, you know, like 108, and she's like, ha, no thank you.
And meanwhile, everyone here is feeling like they're roasting alive.
Yeah. It's all a matter of perspective, right?
Right.
Other than that, not a whole lot, just lots of social activity, so I wasn't able to sit at my game console very much, unfortunately. But I guess it's not...
It misses
horrible.
You, I know. I talked to it the other day, mm-hmm. and it was kind of weepy, just a little bit.
All right, I'll be back.
Okay. Hey, don't tell me.
Tell
your console.
Tell it.
It's listening. It's streaming on the internet.
It's always on.
Nice. How about yourself, Jason?
It's been kind of weird. It's been really pleasant at work. We had a giant horror storm last week that ended up everybody was fighting with everybody, it seemed like, for like no good reasons. And this week everybody's just chilling. And so it's been really nice.
That's
I mean, granted,
nice.
It's only one day of it, but it was that way on Friday also. So
it's nice. A start, right?
Right.
Hopefully it leads to a trend.
Here's hoping.
Well, that's cool. How
yeah,
about you?
It's always interesting when it ends up becoming like ladies sewing circle, like everybody. I can't believe Fran did this and so on.
Yeah. And then I imagine now that like football season has started, there's even more.
Oh, and if anything,
clicking of the hands.
If anything, yeah, I'm worried that's going to start some stuff right there. Because nobody likes the same teams except for like two people. Man. So yeah, that's going to be problems.
Going to be now, some trouble.
The question is, are they actually are the local teams to the Bay Area here, or is it spread further afield?
Mostly. And actually, one of the only person that we as a group know that's over there is a fan of a team that's nowhere near any place. And so that causes problems too.
Oh, geez. You'd think that'd make him immune. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not a part of this, guys.
I mean, it's not a huge issue or anything like that. I mean, but still, it's
sports. Building community and tearing down friendships.
Right. Yeah. I think it's more the people from around here are so into their teams that when they hear like any team outside of the normal, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I have no opinion on things because I'm so not a sports person.
I get that crazy sports ball thing they do with the running and the legs and the arms.
The peoples and the jumping and the kicking and the
I'm one of those. Yeah, I'm interested in like cool looking emblems on the t-shirts and that's about it. I mean,
I do have good logo designers. I will give you
that. Right, I am not the person to judge football at all.
Oh, well, at least you admit that. They know that, right?
I own that. Mm-hmm. I own that. That's me.
Be comfortable
that's how I am.
In your own skin, right?
You're not trying to be phony and like put it on like, yeah, that
no,
guy.
No, that's me trying to be phony. Like all into it. Like, yeah, that's my thing right there. I love the football emblems.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So how about you, Joe? Do anything fascinating, fun, or otherwise exciting this week?
Design a football emblem, maybe?
Unfortunately, no, nor did I watch any football or anything really to do with football.
Man.
So can't really segue from that to there. I finished Assassin's Creed 3, which I'll mention in the game discussion later.
Okay, excellent.
I watched the Tom Cruise movie Oblivion.
Oh,
I saw that on DVD. That was pretty good. The pacing's a little different. I think it might throw some people off, but I thought that was pretty good.
I've heard mostly positive things from people about it. There's a few that were just like they didn't understand it, but overall, most people seem to have liked it.
Yeah, I would say if
they enjoyed the not understanding it.
I think so. Some of them they're just like, I have no idea what's going on, but it sure does look good.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say if you've not seen any of the trailers, don't watch them because they sort of give away stuff.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, I already know some of that stuff because of the trailer, but it's kind of building it up to be this mystery reveal, but
you
kind of give it away in the trailer. But I can understand why. Like, this is how sort of I pictured like the writer, or the director, whoever, you know, was doing it and was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And then producers came in and said, no, you have to include X into your trailer.
Okay.
No, we can't do that because if we do, it'll ruin the stuff. We have X in the movie. You need to show X in the trailer.
Okay.
I'm trying not to like say any stuff to like spoil things or anything, but... But yeah, so it was that.
I'm just going
to
say
it.
It's Professor X is...
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does make an appearance.
He's all over the place in that movie.
So yeah. And then, I already sort of spoke a little bit to Jason off the air.
Mm.
So this is a little...
Wait, what?
...intrigue behind the scenes for the audience. Microsoft's doing an upload outreach program. We're asking people to shoot a one-minute video talking about a 360 game or an Xbox One game that you love or you know, excited for.
Or hate.
So they didn't
not
mention
so much?
Hate.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Not so much.
No. Look for some positive feedback.
Yeah.
they could use some positive buzz.
So, yeah, so I put a script together for that. So I'm going to shoot it this week because you have to upload it by the 15th or something, you know, midnight of the 15th. So
gotcha.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that's... Those are the things I've been up to.
Okay.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, pretty solid. I mean,
also looking forward to seeing what you come up with with the voiceover stuff we did the other weekend. That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be. I still need more stuff, but
yeah,
But yeah, I look forward to getting that up and going as well. Hopefully it turns out as cool as we, you know, hope in our minds.
It's been fun to work on at the very least.
Yeah. Well, I think from there, I will fill in some knowledge for you all if you're interested in the box office top five from last week. We have a very familiar list, but a few newcomers.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So, number one, see if you can guess it. I'll give you a little hint. I live my life quarter mile at a time. Are you afraid of the dark? Are you scared of the dark?
Are you afraid of living your life quarter mile at a time
in the dark?
It can't be Dark Knight Rises, because that would sound more like this if it was in the dark. But, possibly something relating to Pitch Black?
Very, very close.
Okay.
But not quite. Planes. No, just kidding.
Oh, man. That little plane
jumped
just
to number one.
That was quite the surprise.
Thanks to some new voicing by Vin Diesel.
Some extra bonus footage they threw in. Oh, no, yeah.
Just a plane. Like, I don't live my life a quarter mile at a time.
It's like a stealth bomber or something. Okay.
Right.
So, yes.
I have to fly low.
Number one is Riddick. Number two, Lee Daniels, the butler.
So yeah,
that one's holding on there. It was number one for a while, and then dropped down to number two, one, two, so it's there. Now, number three, I've never heard of before. Instructions not included.
It's a Hispanic, it's a Spanish language film.
There you go.
That's number three. Wow.
It's almost like someone in Hollywood finally realized that there's a large Latino audience in America.
Yeah.
There you go. Number four, dropping to number four, was holding on to number two for a long time. We're the Millers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And number five, I did mention it jokingly, but it is still in the top five. Planes.
Number five.
Wow, really?
It's having much more longevity than I ever gave it credit for.
I thought practically all of the other animated ones were better than it. How is it hanging in
that
there?
That is not an untrue statement. And
yeah, I'll be curious to see at the end, like, how much Planes versus Monsters University, like,
yeah,
you know, if it makes almost as much or more, or,
yeah,
you know.
they've already greenlit the sequel.
For Planes?
Yep.
For Planes.
Planes,
Fire,
and Rescue.
Me if it's still in the top five. So.
Yeah, it's doing quite well for itself.
They made a Cars
considered.
2.
Jeez.
Take it or leave it from there.
Man.
Okay.
Is it time for us to do a public service announcement?
It is.
Well,
I
was going to say specifically for the education of our children to become smarter than watching Planes over and over again.
Well, unfortunately, no, but maybe.
Okay, we'll have to work on that.
Maybe this will get one because.
Okay.
If you're interested in free radio time, KCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. So maybe one out there can send us one. There you go. You can email traffic@kcu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. Okay. All right. So those were the top five box office. Now let's get into some movies coming out that may enter the top five.
Ooh.
Coming out. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
We've got a movie called A Strange Brand of Happy. Never heard of it before.
Yeah.
We've got Mademoiselle C. Never heard of that before.
Okay.
S-I or the initial C? Or
the initial C.
Huh.
We have And While We Were Here. Never heard of that one before.
Man.
We put that point in the summer movies where it's like, yeah.
Right.
We've got Informant. Never heard of that before.
That one seems like something we should have heard of before, but
it's possible. It's not rated, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's one that I have heard of before, but I still need to see chapter one of Insidious, chapter two.
Oh, okay.
And Billy Bob Thornton's got a movie. Jane Mansfield's Car.
Huh.
Oh, that's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
he thought that you were just adding it. Like, a list.
I thought that was a commentary on the next. It's like, oh, okay.
Let's see. We've got The Muslims Are Coming. exclamation point at the end.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
apparently okay. Lewis Black is in it.
Huh.
Oh, and I guess you can have the ultimate Insidious experience.
Oh.
I'm assuming it's one and two shown together
okay.
in the theater.
Hey, that wouldn't be bad.
So, and I'll round it out with this one that I'm probably going to butcher the name of, and I apologize in advance. Wajud.
Wajud?
Wajud. Wajud. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
It's, but there you go. Those are the films coming out this Friday. A sample of the films coming out this Friday.
Fascinating.
A deli platter of the films.
That's true.
And if you want to add some condiments to that deli platter, you can toss in these Blu-rays and DVDs, perhaps, with maybe Blood. It's about small-town detectives and the tension of family duty and justice.
Huh, okay.
Castle, season number 5, is now out on DVD.
Mm.
Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox, on Blu-ray and DVD. Delete! On Blu-ray and DVD. It's actually not related to the Cybermen, unfortunately, because that would make the movie probably 20 times better.
I thought you said deli.
Oh, no. Delete.
Delete.
Delete key. Delete key.
It's like, hey, that fits with this whole sandwich thing that
mm-hmm.
Jason started,
mm-hmm.
or someone started.
Yeah. Then there's Frankenstein's Army on Blu-ray and DVD.
Ooh, an army, huh?
Yeah.
Dang.
Russian squad of Russian troops at the end of World War II. It's trapped in a small town where they face a doctor who has created a monstrosity army. Hammer of the
Gods.
Sounds
like fun, actually.
Yeah, it could be. Hammer of the Gods on Blu-ray and DVD.
Okay.
A sequel to the Last Exile series called Fam, the Silver Wing.
Oh, really?
Blu-ray and DVD, yep.
Huh. I'll have to check that one out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not bad.
the description was very seemed like it was kind of derivative of the first series, but that's what most sequels are, so nothing terrible there.
But it's an actual series, not like a movie.
It's a relatively short series, I think.
Oh,
but
okay.
A mini series, if you will.
That's sort of a reimagining recap of the original series, like
or
they
a
like to
micro
do.
Micro series.
No, as far as I can tell, it's an actual full sequel with at least 3 to 4 discs. So it's.
Okay, that's becoming like the new standard, it seems like. So.
No, because animation gets that much more expensive to make. They're like,
right.
Okay, we can do more, a little bit better, and just do a little bit less of it.
It's true.
Then there's Parade's End. It's about the...
Boo!
I don't
like
it when it ends.
Yeah.
Parade's
why
forever.
Why make a movie about that?
Yeah, it's actually a miniseries about the...
Why make a miniseries about that?
I guess prolong the ending of the parade. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Trying to look
I'm
at
more
the positive
interested
side
now.
Pre-World War I English nobility decline, fun stuff like that.
Sounds festive.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Peoples.
Like Mario Van Peebles or Peoples?
No, like as in Tyler Perry.
I want an entire movie. Wait. Okay.
Mario Van Peebles and Tyler Perry need to like team together to make Tyler Perry's solo returns. With Madea? I don't know. I'm not familiar with enough. Tyler Perry.
Wow, that would be a combo right there.
Just combine every Mario Van Peebles there, movie. Posse.
It wasn't action-packed enough. Medea's witness protection or something like that. Now she's going straight military.
We're going to round out the disc options this week with Star Trek Into Darkness on Blu-ray and DVD.
Ooh.
Starring Dredd himself.
Mm-hmm. And Sherlock Holmes.
And Sherlock Holmes.
Dang.
That's true. And
and we're pulling up the next list of things. No, we're totally professional on this show.
Alright, so we got video games now.
Yes.
And I think I will start off with The Elder Scrolls Anthology.
Ooh.
You want all 5 critically acclaimed games, plus official add-ons, packed together in an exclusive premium collector set? Here's your shot at it. We also have The Puppeteer, PlayStation 3. We have Arma 3. We have Killzone Mercenary, the PS Vita.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix, the mix in capital letters.
Wow, that was a title designed by committee.
Yeah. We have what I hear is a rather scary game, Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. It's on the PC.
Okay.
It's an interesting title.
Sequel to Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Okay.
We've got...
I actually have that one.
Huntsman, The Orphanage.
Think
about that for a minute. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And then we have Legend of Dungeon. We have Spud's Quest. We've got, for you hockey fans, I mean, we talked about football.
Mm-hmm,
let's throw some hockey love, I guess. NHL 14.
Okay.
Looks like the 360 finally gets its DuckTales Remastered.
Woo!
There we go. I got Sanctum 2.
Nice.
Empire Total War Gold Edition. And I will round it out with Card Hunter.
Card Hunter or Card?
Card Hunter.
Hmm. Okay.
So, a Yu-Gi-Oh game? Well, no, it wouldn't because it'd be Yu-Gi-Oh.
No.
Strange.
Okay.
Well, there you are then. So, from the video games, we will dodge over to comic books. Coming out of DC, sounds like there'll be two sort of spinoff titles, which will be interesting this week. Batman 23.2, The Riddler.
What?
Yeah, it's Marvel started this alternate numbering scheme, which some people like and others think is kind of shenanigans. And then there's Justice League 23.2, Lobo. So some of these are kind of like spinoffs or expansions of their Year Zero thing they did at the beginning of the year. So,
gotcha.
So there's that. If you want to pick up something new, you can check out Mighty Avengers number 1.
Oh, okay.
So.
That's better than Weakling Avengers by far.
Wussy Avengers, not such a good title.
Right.
For some reason.
Are these like little like Lego Avengers, or these are actual like grown-up size?
These are grown-up size Avengers. Okay. I believe the team is being led by Luke Cage, Power Man. So there you go.
Power Man 9000.
Wow. No, the metal band is not making the appearance in this comic, as far as I know.
Okay, so just 1000 at this point. He's working his way up.
Wolverine, I guess, is busy, huh? Okay. Huh?
Wolverine's like, I'm in like 18 other titles. You can have this one.
I'm busy.
Right.
Although someone out there is like, how dare you insult Luke Cage? I'm gonna find you at that radio station, beat you up.
Please don't. We it'll be interesting to see what they do with it, anyways, because they have recently they've been bringing him as a more interesting character.
And we here at Robots Attack love Luke Cage.
He's pretty cool.
And all other
cages,
because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Right, Gilded Cages, for instance.
Nicholas Cages,
right?
Fan favorite.
Uh huh. So moving on, we have X-Men number 5. There's no extra titles to it. It's just X-Men number 5.
Okay.
Okay. That's revolutionary.
Yeah, I know. Kind of weird, huh? Then from the companies that are not the big two, as the saying goes, there is Halo Initiation number 2 from IDW. And it's about a team of rookies that have to hold their base against a group of insurgents. Lock and Key Alpha number 1. This is the penultimate issue of this of the story. It's like it's not quite the end, but like just gearing up to be the end of the Lock and Key storyline.
Okay. Sort of like the Alpha's TV show.
I see where you're going there, but I think
it's not going to have a last.
We'll just stop that analogy right there. So The Walking Dead number 114 is if The Walking Dead is out, is coming out, that's kind of all you need to know at this point. And another
nobody
new...
cares anymore, right? I mean,
it is the alphas of AMC,
right?
Television,
right?
Shows,
any
right?
Moment now, it's gonna be canceled.
And
they're not even gonna bother showing season 4. They were just like, we shot it all already. Right. We don't want to show it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so, and
we're just going to rerun Breaking Bad episodes.
Right.
They'll still get lots and lots
They're going to do a crossover.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Walking.
bad Walking.
Walking Bad.
The
Walking
Bad
is good. I like that.
The Dead Breaking.
The Walking Bad is good.
And they close out with Sons of Anarchy number one, another number one, something to try out. If you enjoy the show, you might enjoy the comic book.
Oh, yeah. Huh. That's right. That's starting this week.
Yes. These modern outlaws take justice into their own hands, kind of like the show.
Alphas.
Right. They do that too.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Alphas. There's some people out there saying like, man, why does that guy hate Alphas so much?
I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
That just adds to my disappointment, and I can't believe you're bringing up that wound again.
I'm sorry. Well, okay, here's another thing. I'm catching up on Boardwalk Empire, and I'm a couple episodes behind on Dexter. I was going to say I'm caught up on that, but no, I got a couple behind on that.
Okay.
Let's see. I already told you I got caught up on Sherlock. And it
right,
doesn't matter.
Right, right.
Sherlock.
But yeah, because Boardwalk Empire started yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So trying to catch up with that. And got to say, that HBO Go app, that's definitely one of the better apps.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I've heard that its web interface, I don't have HBO myself, but I've heard from those who do that the web interface is a spawn of Satan. It is an experience not to be repeated if you can avoid it.
That always really throws me off, like when, it always seems like it's the opposite. Like, if they try and put something on the console, it's usually like half thought through at first, and then they finally get there and make something good, but... It sounds like it's completely backwards.
Yeah.
With HBO
this Go. One's nice because, like, when you hit the little button to bring up, like, fast forward, rewind, and all that, you know, it brings it up in a little box of it. And then as you're rewinding or fast forward, it has the little picture in picture so you can watch, like, how far you're going. Because some of the other apps, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's annoying.
The Amazon one is.
Oh,
like
I'm going to guess to start it here again that. Yeah.
I know this conversation is going to last exactly 32 seconds.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, the theme song is this long. I think I got it. All right. Excellent. Sounds like this week has provided some entertainment for everyone.
Some alphatainment.
There you go. Nice.
Oh, I will put in one more thing. I actually ordered the, a while back I mentioned in the web listing, Delilah Dirk and the, and I actually purchased the completed first volume. It's really, really good. Like the first two chapters of the story are
refresh, online. Refresh the audience's memory.
Delilah Dirk is, started off as a web comic. It's still, you can read the first two chapters on the website. And
Dirk
it's,
as in knife?
Dirk
or?
As in knife.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like, she's sort of like,
and Delilah, as in the knockout.
As in that's her name.
as in stop interrupting me. Sorry, go on.
It's all right. The she's sort of like the Uber adventurer, sort of. Indiana Jones-ish, but without the educational background. Like she was a diplomat's daughter, so she has like that kind of. And then,
oh, okay, so she's not.
She kind of like
what you're saying.
Well, she is smart. Marion. Yeah, like if you were to take
her dad was you know thing, but
okay.
Yeah, if you take Marion from more like that, where she's kind of her.
Not saying she wasn't smart, just
right.
Education wasn't foremost on her training list. Like
it was mostly the Dirks.
Yeah, she's very much about combat, although she has a pretty keen mind as well. But anyway, the artwork is absolutely fantastic. It has some of the most gorgeous line work I've seen. Like the gesture drawings are really, really nice. Like there's a lot of life in each of the panels. Like each character doesn't look like, I'm now in a running pose, but I'm looking completely stiff and unnatural.
Caleb is posing as
right in an unnatural, yeah. in an unnatural and stiff manner was how he was posing.
Because it's the radio,
right?
Yeah,
hard to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
we're trying to help you guys out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but the gesture drawings and the
tell us if we're doing a good job.
the gestures and the posing is just really, really spot on. The storytelling's good too, and it's fantastic.
Setting wise, like time
period?
Period
is
1863.
It doesn't have a specific year, but it's
so I'm going with 1863.
It's before that though.
Before that?
Wow.
As
okay.
far if I remember correctly, because like the pistol is not in common usage. There are
wow,
cannons
okay.
and there is okay. gunpowder, but. Not in this section of the book where I am. The ones that used a firearm. It's all swords and stuff.
I'm actually way more interested now. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting, really well done.
Didn't care before.
Jesus, this guy. Well, here's right something here. That you should care about, hopefully. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org. That's all one word. Or look for us on Facebook. All right. I think it's time for some music to break up the madness that has been us this past half an hour.
I can see the logic in that.
But before that, we love it when you participate on the show. And you know how you can do that? Caleb's going to tell you.
Yes, well, I'll be glad to tell you. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two separate words, and that will be us. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe, all one word. And then you can always find us on ye old email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you're just like trying to furiously write those all down, just relax. RobotsAttack.me. that is our own webpage, and there we have links to everything else, all the ways to contact us. You can find it under the button that says Interact. You can also find archive episodes of our show there and interact with us through those as well. We love to hear your input about the things that we are talking about. We are checking Facebook and Twitter actively throughout the show. If you shout out to us, we will shout out back at you.
All right.
I mean, nicely.
Yeah, it's a shout out, not a shout at.
Right.
There you go. See, that's a good clarification.
Yes.
Now the folks know that are listening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get to that music break, and then we'll come back with the news. And as a little tease for the news, what have we got? Anyone?
A brand new Van Gogh.
Ooh.
Well, firstly discovered, at least.
No.
We thought he was resurrected for a second. I was all excited, but... Hey.
No, it's all the time you want me wibbly-wobbly stuff that someone went back and got a fresh Van Gogh and...
Okay.
Doctor.
Okay. Well, that's slightly.
The doctor did.
That okay. That's okay. there's a fresh take on eating and slurping your udon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Well, yeah. I know I'm intrigued, and I'm sure you are out there. So you're definitely going to want to stick around after the music break for the news. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show. I'm going to play the track, Pompey, from the band Bastille, from the EP Haunt.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. All right, gentlemen, let's entertain them with some news.
Okay.
Sounds great. All right, I guess I'll lead off since I started the tease. Recently in Amsterdam... A new painting was discovered, or uncovered and then verified through very good scientific artistic means, and it is a by the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam that it is a 1888 painting of the sunset at Mount Majur. I butchered that pronunciation. Apologies in advance, in post. And it's the Vincent. It is a genuine Vincent Van Gogh, and they confirmed it with pigment X-rays and letters that he wrote about where he was, and so they can verify that he was like in the place at the time and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I heard that one, that they actually know the exact day that it was completed because of those letters.
Mm. Yeah, and it's also the first complete canvas that has been uncovered since 1928.
Okay, so just when you thought you'd seen all the Van Gogh there was to go.
Or Van Gogh.
Or Gogh? I've heard a bunch of different
variations. Yeah, I'm not entirely positive. The
I can't remember how the doctor pronounced it when he met him.
Van Gogh could go all the way.
Oh, but yeah, it's just really cool that they're actually, they found another piece of his work that has been completely verified as being his and not a fake. So I'll put links in online so you can check out the pictures for yourself. It's actually another really pretty painting by him, very elegantly put together. Good job, Victor.
Yeah, we salute you.
Taken too soon, that's all I guess. Or Vincent, I mean. Man, I am full of the flubs tonight. Why don't you just run on with whatever it is you're going to talk about?
I'm going to see if I can outdo you with flubs.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Flubber?
Maybe I won't. Okay. I'm sure everybody's familiar with the tradition that comes along with your ramen, your udon, your whatnot, where you slurp directly from the bowl and half the time end up getting broth and whatnot all over you.
Susie, I got broth all over me.
Right. Okay, we'll dodge right around that one. And it's embarrassing. Well, somebody figured out a solution for that might be more embarrassing, but is kind of cool at the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
They, Julian Lechner, created a set of hollow chopsticks.
Okay.
That you can drink through the trotten chopstick and sip the broth off and use them as chopsticks, of course.
Sort of like. Okay.
So there's
straw sticks.
He's naming them soup straws.
See, I would have gone with straw sticks myself, but soup straws is also good.
Okay. Well, hey, you can be in contact with him, and I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
It sounds like an interesting idea. Although, you wouldn't have to put him down to keep eating your soup. Just kind of lean over and...
Unfortunately, like a lot of the stuff that's been cropping up and getting me all excited about new designs of things, this is only concept at the moment. They have them, but they are not mass producible at the moment. But when they are, soup is going to be drank a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mark my words.
No more of that social faux pas of lifting the bowl to your face.
Well, in Western
society, yeah.
Right.
Go on.
From soup straws to...
okay. This ought to be good. I'm in.
Sony,
you can do it.
Sony UK reveals the 1,299-pound HMZ T3 3D head-mounted display. Pounds as in money, not actual pounds.
I was like, how?
Yeah, put that on your head.
Well, I was more intrigued at first. It's like, well, how do you move it into your house at first? And then you mount it.
Put it on your head.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere.
Right. I'm sorry.
I'm sitting right here forever.
See, when I think Europe, I think the euro. I don't think about the pounds anymore, and it still throws me off.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Okay, so if you want that converted into
real
American money, It's around $2,000, you know, $2,000 ish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it supports gaming with PlayStation 3. Wow.
What?
Yeah.
No.
And Windows PC.
Hey.
The head mounted display can also be used with smartphones for video playback. Supporting 60 gigahertz wireless transmissions, the HMZ-T3, need to figure out a better name, consists of dual 720p OLED displays and touts 7.1 channel surround sound.
Cool. Classic Sony naming, though.
I'm just going to call it the Hums.
Okay, the Hums. There the you Hums. Go. The device's lithium battery has a 3-hour lifespan with a wireless HD connection and lasts 7 hours with an HDMI connection, according to Sony.
Huh.
The head-mounted unit weighs roughly 320 gigagrams. What's a gigagram? I made it up.
I'm about to say.
That's not including the cable, battery, and processor units. They unveiled the first generation of the headset, the, what'd you call it?
The Hums.
The Hums T1.
The Hums T1.
Yeah, in January of 2001.
That makes it sound more interesting.
The Hums T2 was demoed last year's Tokyo Game Show. And they had Metal Gear Rising Revengeance on PlayStation 3 with it.
Okay.
The Sony is expected to unveil another new virtual reality headset to complement the PlayStation 4 at Tokyo Game Show later this month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, watch out, Oculus Rift.
I
Sony's
know.
Sony's coming for you.
Yep.
Oh, snap. Dang.
And so, remember, because if you want to see this funky-looking device, this article has a picture for it, and you can see all the articles that we talk about on our Facebook page. That's where we post them. And I think we have links for them also on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Twitter.
Right.
As well. Mm-hmm. So,
with Facebook, we become virtual reality radio.
It's true.
Ooh,
yeah.
There you go. Alrighty. So true. From high tech to high tech futures, which like in Star Trek, there is almost no disease.
Which Star Trek?
Like
in
all of them.
Star
dude.
Trek, there is almost no disease.
Come on.
We are moving towards such a future.
Well, I mean, there's the Star Trek, the animated series. There's the original series Star Trek.
I remember the first episode of the animated series, and there was disease in that.
Or,
there was big disease.
Anyways.
Although it was alien disease, so I don't know if that counts or not.
I'm gonna say
we'll
I'm
let
not
the
sure.
audience
we'll,
decide
you, right. you decide and hit us up on Facebook or Twitter about that. So the in the pursuit of a future with without human disease, there has been great strides made in a vaccine for HIV. It has just finished the first round of clinical trials and is showing great promise, and they're getting ready to move on to rounds 2 and 3, and they're inviting the medical community as well as nonprofits and stuff to get involved and start, you know, kind of, yeah, making this more of a reality. And if it does actually finish all the testing, it will be the first commercially produced vaccine for HIV, which is highly effective. So
okay.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, this oddly enough, my next story goes pretty well with that. But go ahead.
Was this the same? I remember something about a story about one for like little kids or babies or
they did. Yes, there was recently.
So this isn't related to that, is it?
No, it's okay, not. It's okay. Not related to that. It's a different. It's a different technique and different a different vaccine, as far as I understand. And this one is I believe is actually intended for use in adults as well as it's like this is what we would give you if you came in and we diagnosed you with HIV. If this works out, it would be this would be like their first line of defense kind of thing.
Mm, okay,
so very exciting for humanity. Go science.
Okay, this is sort of the same problem, different direction. Yearly about 1.3 million people die from unsafe injection practices.
Okay.
Globally. And about 30% of that is from hepatitis A and B, and 5% of it is from HIV. Now, of course, this is a massive problem that people have been trying to figure out for years, and sort of a crossover ended up happening. I don't know if it was people in contact with each other or just parallel minds thinking alike. Remember that cup and straw thing that I talked about a while back that was for testing to see if there were bad drugs being dropped in people's drinks and whatnot?
Yeah.
They did the exact same thing with needles. They ended up making one that as soon as it gets used, it turns red so you can tell exactly when it's been used so it isn't reused and is therefore safe.
That's really brilliant.
Huh.
Again, go science and go for improving human life. That's really cool.
Right. I need to see if there's any relation between these two things, but they're calling it the ABC syringe and let's see. The creator of it is from Huddersfield University in England. His name is David Schwann.
Wow.
Won the Index Award for this creation.
That's really cool.
I thought it was pretty cool. Right. You know, helping people is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It can be handy.
And oddly enough, it's so easy to do that it only adds like 1% to the actual price of these, since it's just an additive that you add to the plain old plastic that was already there. Not much to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, heck, why it wasn't done before? Who knows?
the world of material science is still relatively new, and all things considered, so.
Well, it's weird. Like, it's so much of this stuff is just people not crossing things together the right way, you know? Like I mentioned with the straw thing, it's the exact same thing that they had with Hot Wheels, like running water over them.
Right.
It's just shows that something changed in the environment by whatever coating they put on the cars. So
yeah, I think the sensitivity to chemicals is still relatively new. Like the heat sensing ones, I think have been around a little bit longer.
Okay.
Temperature sensing ones, because I remember mugs from way back in the day having similar stuff.
But the idea has been out there.
This is true. The concept did pre-exist. You ready for your next one, Joe, or should I jump in with one that I got?
Go for it.
Alrighty. We've talked about this before. The self-driving car. We've mentioned that Google's been working on it. I know your feelings about it.
I love it.
Joe loves it. Jason hates it. This one may actually kind of like hit a middle ground. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But Nissan is pushing to get commercially viable and affordable self-driving cars by 2020.
Okay.
And they think they can deliver on that because
I'm so disappointed in you, Nissan.
According to them,
you were my boy, Nissan. You were my boy.
The technology is there, like it's ready to go. Like they've done lots of testing on it, and like, you know, the real hurdle is not the technology so much as it is the legislation. So they're hoping that they can start like getting some trials going, so they can actually start pushing some of these ideas forward and advancing the idea that a self-driving car is not this fearsome Skynet device that will destroy us.
It is,
because the thing that makes the Nissan one a little bit different is that it doesn't need to be internet connected to be a self-driving car.
Okay.
It can use just a regular GPS and then the road sensors to keep it in lane and on destination. The Google ones, they wanted them to be internet connected and intertalking. Whereas the Nissan one, like the car sort of self-regulates to the environment around it. And if you have a whole fleet of them self-regulating to the environment around them, they're all going to flow as if they were all connected together, talking to each other kind of thing. They can be internet connected if you want them to be, but if you were to suddenly, like, solar storm and lose satellite connection, you would not be completely out to lunch.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where they're, I think that's where they're trying to position themselves differently than Google.
Because
the Google one's been, is very much about, like, sort of
taking
cloud,
over the world.
Cloud integration, Skynet, you know.
I'm disappointed in you, Google. You were my boy.
So there you go. That's something to look forward to.
Well, if you're somebody other than me.
You can still look forward to it because then those people will get out of your way as you drive your car down the road.
No, they're going to drive even more like idiots. I guarantee it.
We shall see.
They're going to be more frustrating. It's going to be a whole bunch of Miss Daisy cars out there.
Was Google going to team up with an actual car manufacturer or...
The Google
have
vehicles that are out there now are in a variety of different
the Google
vehicles. They have several Priuses. They have a number of SUVs and vans. So they've already started like talking about people with this. And Nissan even said like we're not ruling out working with Google on this, but we have developed a technology which you think is pretty rad. So they're trying to push that one forward.
Okay, in order to save some of Nissan's rep, in my view, I'm going to throw out this story, even though it may be kind of lame in the long run. But Nissan is also developing something along the lines of what we've seen the different cell phone companies kind of trying to develop for a while. They're making a bracelet that is one of those health sensor bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
But its dual use is that it also works with the car, so you can figure out what the car's health and your health are and be able to not really keep them in sync, so to speak, but just make sure that you have everything tuned up right in both places.
Clever.
Unfortunately, the kind of lame part of it is that it's also apparently heavily like social network connected to try and make you seem cooler. So
your friends go, so why didn't you work out this week? I did. No, not according to your device. Dang it, guys.
And post, no. You need to see a doctor. Your cholesterol is
that,
high.
That would be pretty good. But no, it...
Why
it,
are you still living?
It sounds like it actually has like different coolness factor things for how cool you are with your car and stuff like that. So yeah, that part sounded really lame to me.
Well, are you willing? How about the...
No,
Ray Bradbury, Flights of the Imagination. Willing Suspension Armchair Theater presents Ray Bradbury, Flights of Imagination, celebrating the work of fantasy and science fiction writer Ray Bradbury. Performances will be Tuesday, September 17th in downtown Santa Cruz Library. I'll try that again. They will be Tuesday, September 17th at the downtown Santa Cruz Library, Wednesday, September 18th at the Aptos Library Branch, and Thursday and September 19th at the Scotts Valley Library. All performances are at 7 p.m. For more information, contact Davis Banta at davisfilm@gmail.com or Karen Schomburg at gilprops@comcast.net.
Hmm.
Cool.
Now I want to visit Santa Clara Cruz.
Santa Clara Cruz.
It sounds like a fun place.
Like Santa Clarita.
Right, yeah, actually.
Take out some vampires.
So who lives at Santa Clara Cruz? Is it where the werewolves live?
Yes.
It's across the river from Santa Clarita.
Well, there you go. Nice.
It's just across the river from the boardwalk.
Okay, well, I've got a story. See, I was going through my stories, and I've got a couple that I would do. This one, though, just jumped out because I know Jason.
Like a werewolf?
Not exactly.
Okay.
But it jumped out because I know Jason is super excited to see this movie.
Okay.
And it's getting an earlier date.
I'm bracing myself.
Ant-Man gets a new release date.
I heard that. Yeah.
Marvel sets earlier 2015 date for Edgar Wright film. Marvel Studios and Disney have pushed up the release date of their Ant-Man movie. Originally slated to open November 6, 2015, the Edgar Wright-directed superhero film will now debut July 31st, 2015.
Huh.
Instead, this is 2 weeks after the Man of Steel sequel slash Batman versus Superman film from DC and Warner Brothers is slated to open.
Wow, they're feeling pretty confident about that then. That's curious.
It is Edgar Wright, I mean.
Wright co-scripted the film with Joe Cornish. The lead roles have yet to be cast.
Maybe they're just keeping it under wraps to keep us all in suspense on the edge of our seats.
It's true. But I figured you'd be really excited.
Let's throw it out there. Who would be a good actor for Ant-Man? Any ideas, people?
Who would be a good Hank Pym?
Man. I'm just not that familiar with the character. The only experience is just that Ultimates.
I'm the same way.
I
ended up learning more about him because I wanted to learn more about Ultron, so I read the entire wiki on Ultron. So I ended up learning more about Pym because of that. So
even though that's being thrown out.
Right, exactly. But it was still kind of interesting as far as a perspective of why Ultron would be a cool character. And so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thrown out, I mean, as in just because Josh Whedon's not going to use.
Yeah, they're rewriting the Ultron history is all.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah,
it's not going anywhere in the comic world, but. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the movie.
The Avengers film is its own universe.
Yeah.
See, I have a weird feeling, like, as sort of a hybrid of two characters from the same actor.
Okay.
You can have Bones and Judge Dredd.
Bones.
Oh, okay. Carl Urban.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I was like, Bones, wait, the chick?
That's not what I was thinking.
I had a moment where I was thinking sort of thing, and then I'm like, he's like Judge Dredd. I'm like, oh, wait, now that's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah, the trick from Bones and Sylvester Stallone.
Okay, I can see how that would be confusing. I should have put that slightly differently. But yeah, I think that he might have a little bit of talent for a role like that, just because he definitely does the science-y bit pretty well in his own oddball sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of the superhero side of things, too.
He has that charisma and intensity that you could see. Like,
what?
Kind of...
He has charisma?
Boot to the head. So
that was your fist.
I don't want to put my foot up that high. You're taller than I am.
It is tiring.
It's
your
hard.
Foot up that high.
Yes.
I don't blame you. The fist is nice and handy.
Nice.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm just going to close out that section of the conversation with...
Aw, I wanted to hear your guys' ideas.
I don't know actors well enough.
No.
Yeah. Not the... Joe...
I don't care anymore anyway.
Justified guy.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Walton Goggins?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
He's got to keep the accent, yeah.
Right. I don't think he's capable of losing the accent, to be honest.
All right. We're going to round out with robots and drones, and I mentioned the DARPA challenge across the desert, and the self-driving cars are a spinoff off of the DARPA challenge expansion of cities, and now they're also this one isn't DARPA, but there is a group that is of oceanographers that want to send drones.
It's Orca
across the Atlantic to try and find out more about the ocean, because there's a lot of space in the ocean that we just can't cover, because it's sort of like a microcosm of space beyond the planet, because there's a lot of it and there's not a lot in the middle, but it's still good to know what's there. So that they're,
and we haven't made SeaQuest yet, so
yep, the actual SeaQuest has not been made yet.
Right. That's true.
Yeah,
Star Trek Underwater.
Right.
We don't want to have what happened in Leviathan happen.
No, we don't.
That's a lesson
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we have learned.
Yes. Yes. Lance Hendrickson taught us well. So anyway, the
he did teach us about Mass Effect.
Wait, I had the wrong actor again. This is why I don't interject on the name and actor thing.
No, I love
thing.
This. I'm. It's not.
Actually, can you imagine a buddy cop film with Lance Henriksen and Peter Weller?
That would be kind of awesome.
Plus, especially since they're so old.
It would be like the cast of, dang it, what's the name of that TNT show? It used to be The Closer, and then it got turned into some other thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That old team is old.
Right, yeah. With the annoying guy from the Police Academy movies in a serious role.
Yeah.
Which he isn't bad in that.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
He's pretty good. But it's still weird seeing him in that role, being a serious policeman.
Mm. So yeah, there's a group out of England is making
Caleb.
I completely walked into that one by name dropping the wrong actor. So
I've completely forgotten. Wait, could start over.
We're talking about
Orca, right? Okay, I'm just for the audience that just flipped the dial and was right. Like, "What
is
going on?"
Which
is
my pet name.
Oh,
for,
Orca.
Which is my pet name for DARPA on the water. So
yeah, the it's a mostly based out of England. There's a bunch, several universities that are trying to make drones that will survive a transatlantic crossing, and then ideally use them to keep an eye on, fish migrations, pollution, water temperature, maybe get some more insight into the global warming thing. It's called the Microsat Challenge. The team from Aubrey. Oh man, curse these old English these old English letters with all their extra consonants. There's a university with a very nice English name that
Jolly Old England,
Merry Old England, which is difficult to pronounce.
I'd say it's Abercynth, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably closer than what I was coming up with. But anyway, they've released their drone into the water, and you can track it through their website. It's pretty impressive.
If you love a drone, set it free.
So anyway, it's just kind of interesting to see how it's going and what the design challenges are when you need to put a robot, an electronic device, in the largest thing of water that we have on planet Earth, the ocean. It's like, how do you solve that challenge? So
okay,
that's one of the main things, plus the research that can be done with it is just really cool.
I keep waiting for them to do like hundreds of drone submarines to find all of the interesting stuff that's under the water. That's what I want to see. Because, I mean, like you said, there's so many corners of the ocean that we really don't have a ton of knowledge about because we're afraid of finding the Leviathan and whatnot. But a drone could deal with the Leviathan just fine because it can't adapt anything from the drone's body.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very
they're
true.
Perfect for
that's very
they're
true.
An anti-Leviathan countermeasure, naturally.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, as natural as something that's man-made can be, but still.
It's the natural antithesis of something that is designed to copy the natural form.
Exactly.
It's true.
Take that, Leviathan.
I mean, I'm sorry if you haven't seen Leviathan. We spoiled a little bit of it for you, but...
with the ending of Lance Henriksen coming.
The special guest appearance as Leviathan, Lance Henriksen.
Oh, guys. Oh.
In his uncredited role.
It's true.
Stop it.
But yeah, if you want to see Alien but underwater in the ocean,
right?
Watch Leviathan. There
right.
you go.
Still a lot of fun.
Don't do Deep Star 6. I mean, that's a fool's errand. Just kidding. There's cute girls in it. So you can watch that.
It's a different type of fool's errand at that point.
Right.
It's true.
Yes.
Well, okay. Since you mentioned cute girls, I'll segue into this story. Okay. Excuse me. Hideo Kojima clarifies his sexy approach.
I heard about this.
To Metal Gear Solid V's characters. All right, I grabbed this story from Polygon, but I'm sure you've heard it all over the Twitter, and if you're familiar with
I've actually Metal been Gear keeping Solid up games. With this story a little bit.
So, Metal Gear creator Hideo Kojima garnered some perhaps unwanted attention earlier this week for a handful of tweets he made about the character design for his upcoming games, Metal Gear Solid V, Ground Zeroes, and The Phantom Pain. According to Kojima, he'd requested that designer Yoji Shinkawa make certain Metal Gear Solid V characters, quote, more erotic, in an attempt to encourage cosplayers to dress up as those characters.
As Snake.
Yeah. Snake in a thong. And so, the real big boss.
Assless chaps.
Yeah. Now you see why they call him the big boss. and so figurines based on them. He then showed a detailed shot of one of those characters, the sniper Quiet, who wears little more than a bikini, torn stockings, and a rifle.
Yeah.
Promising a better look at her this Friday. Reaction to Kojima's request for added eroticism was mixed. Today during a Q&A session with Kojima, Shinkawa, and model Stephanie Judson, whose voice, face, and motion capture are being used for the character Quiet.
Super, super cute.
Yeah. Polygon asked them why they thought this was necessary and how Judson felt about the appearance of her character in-game. Quote, maybe the phrase erotic wasn't really the correct word for what I was trying to say, Kojima said through a translator. What I'm really trying to do is create unique characters. One of those is, of course, Quiet. She's a really unique character. I wanted to add that sexiness to her. It wasn't really supposed to be erotic, but sexy. From my perspective, it's not just the characters, but often I look at a weapon or a vehicle and think, that's really sexy, Shinkawa said. It's not just the characters, but the mechs and weapons as well. It is a sexy gun. You're going to notice when you play, but there's limited dialogue with Metal Gear Solid, and for that reason, we really want to show the characteristics from each character, Kojima added. Sexy could be for guys, weapons, vehicles. It's really that characteristic.
This is also the challenge you face when you don't speak English as your native tongue.
Yeah. Of course, I was surprised to see Quiet's outfit at first, said Judson, but you know, it fits in the Metal Gear universe. I don't think I'm allowed to say a lot about this, but, well, Mr. Kojima has his reasons for deciding why Quiet is wearing what she's wearing. Players will just have to look forward to that. So, it looks like they're going to show some more designs at Tokyo Game Show later this month. But, yeah, there's a...
It's an outfit.
Interesting outfit, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of torn at first, because when I first heard the story, immediately... This is before anybody had any time to figure out what he was saying on Twitter or anything like that. Immediately, I was thinking, like, okay, well, this is a Lost in Translation type thing. And I understand where he was going with the idea that he wants cosplayers to be into it and whatnot. But at that point, I hadn't seen the pictures of this costume. Mm-hmm. And so I was all gunning to be, like, all protective of him and everything. Because, I mean, it's a big thing right now for people to actually send out designs of the costumes and whatnot to cosplayers ahead of time so that they can show up at conventions before anybody even knew that they were being created and whatnot. But once I saw this costume, it's like, I'm not sure I want to see a whole bunch of teenage girls running around in this costume. That could be awkward.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was really torn because it's not really that different of a costume from one of my favorite characters in an anime, the Fujiko character. And it's like the same sort of, well, in some ways, the same idea. It's like a badass type of sniper chick. And so it's like the only difference is, oddly enough, Quiet is more clothed than Fujiko in a way, because she's wearing like hot pants and a bikini top. And so Quiet's wearing a slightly more covering bikini top, just slightly.
Yeah.
And then the stockings. But the stockings, it's kind of questionable because you can see the thong underneath.
Yeah.
And so, I was like really torn through this entire thing. Like, I was really ready to support you, dude, but yeah, that's, I'm sorry, that's erotic.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to check out more about the story or any of the other stories we mentioned during the news, check out the Facebook page. There's a link to it, pictures, smalls, mm-hmm. all the others. But
if you want to see what all the hubbub is about.
Yeah, and check out more about the orca story and the soup straws. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all of it.
All of that jazz.
At the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, there's tabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all know about tabs. And if you're interested in free radio time, KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic@kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
We'll consider it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's going to wrap up the news. We're going to take another music break.
No more news for you people.
No more news. We've filled your head with it. Now absorb it.
Right.
And let it digest into your system.
Go into a corner and count to five.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another music break. I'm going to play the track Bones from the band Miss Mister. From the album title Secondhand Rapture. Totally didn't plan that at all.
Yep.
And after that, we'll be back with Caleb's Corner. Want to tease the folks?
It's about, it's kind of a nice article about the changing face of characters in comics.
All right.
Okay.
Definitely want to stick around for that.
Yeah. Shapeshifters.
Not so much.
True.
But you can think that if you like.
Okay. I'm thinking that.
We'll have to find out when we come back.
After the jump.
After the, yes. The music jump.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, welcome back to KSCU 103.3 FM. We are Robots Attack. This section is called Caleb's Corner. This is where I get to opinionate or rant or what have you. And the views that I express are not necessarily reflective of those of KSCU, any of the people that work there, or even of the other hosts on the show. They are just my ideas, my thoughts. If they want to agree and chime in, that's up to them. So the link is up on our pages, and it was a really cool little article I found on a website called Princess Versus Peril. One of the first online comics that I read was Demonology 101. And
yeah,
that goes back a bit if you know your way back machine on the internet.
That was one of my favorites starting out too.
Mm-hmm. And the artist writer of that is Faith Erin Hicks, and she has gone on to make a pretty good name for herself in the world of comics. And recently she was part of the team that did the comic adaptation, I think prequel, lead up to the Last of Us video game.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, and why this is kind of different or interesting is, like, you know, when you think of your typical post-apocalyptic film, most of them usually look something like World War Z with Brad Pitt or Mad Max with Mel Gibson, or, you know, you start looking at most of the majority of the heroes in post-apocalyptic games are dudes, and most of the females are, they might be good characters or even strong characters, but they're generally the side character.
Yeah.
And in The Last of Us American Dreams, which is a four-part series lead up to Last of Us,
the game,
they pretty much all of the characters in it are female. It follows the title character, the main girl from the game, and then a few others that are characters within the story. But it was just really interesting because this article was written obviously by the review, kind of written by a lady. It's like, she's like, yeah, they actually wrote women characters that behaved like women. They weren't like women acting as dudes or being like overly distraught, or like they weren't being played as for, they weren't being played for a laugh or for a trope. It wasn't oh, she's a girl, so therefore she's like this. They had some of those aspects, but that wasn't all what they were all about. Like, they had character, and that character was shown through and was a big part of the development of the storyline and how they interacted with each other and with this post-apocalyptic world and the creatures that now live in it. And it's just kind of interesting to see that some of the things that I've kind of been trying to champion in my corner here of generating a more equal view of character and in media of both male and female, that someone is actually following through on that. And I think that's, I just think it's just really nice to see that's happening, and that it to me says it's not necessarily mainstream comics yet, but it's starting to show that there's movement, there's change, and I think that's kind of exciting, and I hope to see a lot more of it soon, because like The Last of Us is American Dreams was published by Dark Horse, which is one of the major publishers. It's tied into one of the biggest games of the year. You know, I think it's important that they wrote an all female cast story for this. There's a lead up to this for this, and so you know, go check it out. The artwork is fantastic because Faith does really good work, and it sounds like the writing is really good because the source material of The Last of Us is also a really well written game. Almost everyone I've heard talk about, just they like you know, yeah, they do it.
They like the story.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, there's, if you want to kind of, I guess I hold this up as an example of what could be seeing more of. Like, you know, let's support something that's good, not just because it's, you know, an all female cast. I mean, that's cool and all, but like, you know, let's make sure that we're not just swapping things out, but we're actually raising the bar for what we expect and what we want out of our media and our media producers. So, and this looks like it's a really good example. And so I brought that, I would like to call everyone's attention to that. Plus it's comics, and comics are totally awesome.
It's true. But yeah, it is a lot of the post-apocalyptic stuff. It is usually a dude. He's the main guy.
Yeah. Like, there might be a love interest female, but that's usually, like, a lot of times she's like, oh, they captured her, go get her. Post-apocalyptic, the world ensues, things happen, and then, you know, you have to rinse and repeat, you know.
I mean, there was Tina Turner in Beyond Thunderdome, but yeah, that's true. A lot of them,
yeah,
they are kind of side characters, like, nothing else.
Yeah, but like, you know, Tina Turner, like, it's a pretty rarefied list that you can think of off of characters from these kinds of films and these kinds of stories. And most of these stories, like, the strength of them is built on the back of the humanity of the characters and the non-humanity of the characters involved. When did the humans become monsters? Do the monsters become human? Do the humans become more human in response to the monsters? Like, you know, the Walking Dead is kind of about that's pretty much how they made that work.
Yeah,
they made a lot of really touching, gripping characters, regardless of whether they were male or female. And I think that's kind of why it's another reason why it's been succeeding so well. So.
Yeah, the whole what came first, the zombie egg or the zombie chicken kind of thing, you know, and the whole vast scheme of it.
That's deep.
Well, speaking of things that are deep and animals, but non-zombied animals.
Yay, not zombied animals.
The San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find living foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. All right. We just had Caleb's Corner. Now we're going to move into some game discussion. And Jason's going to start us off.
And probably finish us off. But
Well, I can jump in on a couple things.
That is true.
But I'll have you start off.
Okay. I know it's been a little while since it came out. But
it's been a while.
But it's the first time that we've had a chance to talk about it.
The Stand song.
Is the video game Flashback. And
Okay. That's where you're starting.
Yeah.
Flashback. I can't talk about this. Well, no, I can slightly. Go ahead.
Okay.
Because I played it at Comic-Con slightly, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Cool, cool.
Again, this is just effectively a demo review, but it's kind of interesting for me since I was a really big fan of the first one. I was horrible at the first one, so I didn't get very far, but it was a tough game.
Yeah, it was challenging, cause especially since it was the spiritual successor to Out of This World, which was well known for being
impossible.
What am I doing?
Right, yeah.
And not to be confused with the show Out of This World, right? Wasn't there a show called
there was also a show called Flashback. These games have nothing to do with either of those.
Right.
Unfortunately. I mean, the shows should have been... Anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway, the new Flashback, it definitely has all the same feel of the old game. If you were a fan of that, they've upgraded it with some flash graphics. They've made some pretty neat-looking Mass Effect-ish type of vehicles and weapons and whatnot. The silhouettes for the bad guys and so on are definitely pulled from that same kind of framework. Everything's pretty smoothly animated, but it's kind of weird too, because what was really neat about the original Flashback was that it was really light on details. It felt like it was a cell drawn game.
Yeah,
like,
it was it had a very animated look to it, whereas
right.
like the pant, like it was two colors for the pants and his pant legs, like
right,
you know, shadow side and light side.
Yeah, there was really almost nothing to the actual characters running around and whatnot, but they looked so smoothly animated. I don't know how they did it, if it was kind of the original version of motion capture, which is just paint over pictures that you took of people or what, but.
Yeah,
it was really, really smooth for what it was.
Yeah, both of those games owe their allegiance to Prince of Persia, the first one, because
right.
it was the first like hand rotoscope sort of game. So and these were sort of like that, where they used a lot of video footage or film footage for the animation.
Okay.
Continue.
Well, anyway, since this one is all 3D, I feel like it kind of lost a lot of that.
Mm.
I think they might have used actual motion capture in order to do a lot of the stuff. So the stuff looks good, but when you actually have an artist creating a seamless movement versus having a computer try and duplicate it off of a person where they took snippets of movements, you can see the difference, and it's not quite as good versus an artist actually doing it.
Yeah.
When the artist is skilled, of course.
Naturally.
And so it feels like it has lost a little bit of something, and sort of the mystery of the original game, not knowing anything, not having hardly any dialogue, anything like that to guide you through it, it ended up lending itself pretty well to the idea of the game, which is a guy
with amnesia.
Exactly. It was one of the first amnesia games, at least that I remember. Now they all do it.
That's a very
it's amnesia and time travel. Everything is those two things anymore, it seems like. But anyway, it's still a really solid game. It feels like there are some stumbles here and there. The voice acting gets sketchy every once in a while with kind of smaller characters. The main character, I swear, it's like, it seems like they recorded Justin Bieber. He sounds really young to me. He doesn't sound like completely out of place in it, but it still seems just a little bit off. It seems like they needed a little bit older character to play this character.
Okay.
Maybe later on in the game it makes more sense for his age and whatnot, but since he's supposed to be some sort of agent of some sort, it seems a little bit weird that he sounds like a teenager to me. Anyway, but they still really mastered the feel of the original game, which I sort of wonder if it's going to be a problem for people now, because a lot of the problems with the original game for a lot of people was the difficulty of mastering the movement system, because it really was kind of, it was navigating your character through a grid effectively with the right combination of movements. And the movements looked really slick and everything, but you had to be really prepared for exactly what sort of move you had to follow up another move with in order to get from like one platform to another and whatnot.
Right.
So you had to kind of have it planned in your brain how it works. And this game isn't any different as far as that. It doesn't feel like it's, they haven't made it any smoother.
Okay.
But overall, I'd still really recommend people trying it out. After all, you pick it up and you're going to get a copy of the original game and see exactly what I was talking about with how cool that was, especially for its time period. So definitely check it out.
Cool.
Cool. So that was Flashback. What's next on our list?
Next on our list?
Yes.
Would be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows.
Which
I had a chance to play this one.
Which always throws me off. It's kind of like the Blops thing, because I keep seeing TMN Toots.
There should be a colon in that title somewhere.
Right, there is, but I mean, when you see it as this big lump of stuff, you lose the colon really quickly.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of weird. Also, but it's funny, that game is sort of the same thing as the Flashback game. It nails a lot of stuff down really perfectly as far as the feel of the game, but it kind of misses out in other places. I know the people who have reviewed much deeper into the game, they complain more about the actual physical system, but I feel like they don't stress enough. This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, from people who are really passionate about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they hit that just perfectly.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I ended up watching the original, sort of original, the movie, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and of course that departs from the original comic book quite a bit, but still, like, The feel between those two is really seamless. And especially after watching that movie, the game is such a notch up as far as storytelling compared to the movie. And the movie wasn't horrible, as horrible as it could have been.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, don't underestimate, if you were a fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're going to enjoy a lot of the interactions with the turtles. It really perfectly throws down all of the stuff with especially Mikey, like all of his little like where he gets completely thrown off by something else or decides to randomly talk about pizza and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's so perfect for
hey,
that character.
Hey, I want you to come over here and use your brain to like do smart stuff on the computer thing over here.
yeah
and like hack and
The actual fighting system, it doesn't really feel like anything new, and it feels a little bit buggy at parts, but honestly, it's, to me, just more about getting a really solid feeling for those characters again, because that was what all the fun was.
I would say, playing the trials, if they throw a lot at you,
right,
like the combo, like, here, do this move, this move, this move, it's like, what? Like, hold this. Right. They throw a lot at you. So if you're like, whoa, wait, what was this? Like, it's cool. Like, maybe, you know, try it a few times, switch it out. Just, you know,
right.
There's definitely a fairly deep system to it, but it can be slightly overwhelming at first.
Right. Yeah, the other thing that's really nice about it, too, though, that is directly about the combat system is instead of having, like they did with the old arcade game and whatnot, if you just have one person playing, you're just like a solo turtle on the screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You always have the team together, and they're always cracking jokes at each other. Yeah. They're always throwing down that's the cool. teamwork moves and everything. And
swap so between
that's,
them. And...
Yeah, that's really cool. And they made a really interesting... Well, they made a really solid leveling system, I think, for all of the turtles that makes sense for those characters also. Like... My favorite was always Raphael, so I ended up messing around with him the most. Mm. And, of course, a lot of his stuff is about getting angry and brawling and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so...
Ooh, Raph, never.
Right. It was really neat seeing that. And they did another thing, too. They made him slightly, like, bigger and more muscular. Like, that always bugged me. They always had him working out more than all of the other turtles and everything like that. But there was nothing to show that he was any different.
Right.
But this one actually has, like, a little bit of difference. Like, you can see more muscles in the neck and whatnot. So I thought that was really cool.
Which brings up a quick question. Like, the design of the turtles, like, there was different for this game. Did that bother anybody else?
I hated the chins at first, but one thing that they... Well, okay. Anybody who doesn't know, turtles didn't have chins in any of the previous incarnations. And so that threw me off a lot. But I know what they were going for. They were going for an actual turtle design, because real turtles have chins.
Yeah, they do definitely look more like a actual turtle
in
the face area.
But what brings it together for me and what ended up convincing me, like, okay, the chins aren't that big of a problem. They have little bridges between the action where it cuts to like quickly drawn comics.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are really good. Yeah, and they show why the design that you see there ends up carrying that through a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
What made me sad about it, though, I wanted it to be more of that. I wish the entire thing would have been like a live comic like that, because it goes back to the chin thing and why I thought it was a negative thing. It looks sort of weird having an odd little projectile underneath the chin, and the comic doesn't really have that. It has that overall shape, but you can tell when they tried to make a 3D model of these things instead of a cel-shaded design that they realized, well, they have to have lips, and so it has to be slightly off. So that's where it fell apart to me. Mm. If they would have just made it cel-shaded, I think it would have gained a lot of points from a lot of people, especially if it would have had that really sketchy look that the comics did. I thought they really did a good job on that stuff, too.
Mm.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, the only thing that sort of bothered me a little bit sometimes was the camera. It would, like...
Yeah, it...
Because you'd have to... The way it's set up is you're using, you know, X, Y, A, and B buttons, and the right stick is the camera, so you're taking your thumb off of that to hit those buttons, and if the camera's not in a good enough place... I mean, this is... Not just with this game, a lot of...
Yeah, it's the classic player-controlled camera. They throw that in there so that people supposedly don't have any reason to complain because, well, you should have been controlling the camera yourself.
But
and
if I was, then I wouldn't be able to block the attack that I'm in, and I can't see.
Then you look like one of those weird people that has like their controller on their nose, and they're like, so they're like, you know, using that to control one stick and then fight with the other stick and then thumbs.
But I completely understand it from another perspective, though, is that the games where they've tried to make it so the camera is completely like a machine that knows exactly where to go to get the perfect shot, the level design for those games is always really basic and really horrible. And so I know that must be the problem. And I'd rather have a little bit of problem with camera here and there and have interesting level design. It's still frustrating, but I don't like just a plain boxy room for these games anymore. It's 2010 something, so no more boxes perhaps? In video games. Yeah. Well, the 2010s is what I was trying to say.
Okay.
We're in the tens.
Right.
We've gone a decade past the 2000s. We should be past this the block room design.
Right.
The exclusively block room design.
Yeah. Right. And with new consoles coming out, maybe that will help.
Maybe that'll be like more interesting shapes.
There you go.
Smarter cameras.
The smarter camera thing, that could be kind of interesting because then if they have like the whole space more or less planned out, they can like have like several presets that are better than average, and then but when you need to move it out of the way, like it'll still respond well better to that.
Yeah. There's all sorts of pitfalls as far as the camera thing, and everybody has their own problems with it, it seems like, unless they really simplify things down. Like, it's the same thing with all of the Devil May Cry games. That gets really frustrating at different times when you're trying to pull off crazy, like, triple S combos, and then some random sign that was just trying to give personality to the scene ends up completely in the way of you being able to pull off your combo. So
True.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened a little bit in Assassin's Creed 3. I would be like fighting guys and this giant redwood would get right in the way and be like, wow, this is awesome. I can't see anything that's going on. I'll push this button. Hopefully I'm blocking. I'll hit some guys. Can I move now? Because this tree is right in the way. But
disengage, run in a different direction. Right. Another tree now, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time. I think that's going to do it for game discussion and for the show. And if you're interested in the games we mentioned, feel free to check them out.
Right.
I mean, they're free.
Go play them yourself.
They're free.
Why are you listening to us?
Yeah, the trial versions are free.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe. And, of course, we have...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Have a wonderful week. And weekend.
Mm-hmm. When it gets there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we will see you here next Monday from 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, who knows? Because we'll have new schedules.
Yeah, fall semester,
stuff.
Fall quarter starting.
So, you know, tune in. We'll definitely let you know. And how you'll know that
is you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Our Facebook handle is Robots Attack. That's two words. Our Twitter handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word.
If you don't like handles,
you can always find us in the emails. We are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, all of those links to all the things I've described, as well as archive episodes of our show, can be found at robotsattack.me. That's our own website, and we have all of our archives there. You can also comment on past episodes or whatever. Please interact with us more. We love it when you do.
Yes. Makes the show better.
Even better.
Even better. All right. Take it easy, everyone. We're going to close out with the band Ash Reader, the track Broken Drum. Let me double check and make sure. Yes, Broken Drum from the album Hola. All right. You've been listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Thank you and goodbye.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.